Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Denzel. Just want to remind all of you that Saturday is April Fool's Day. Don't be fooled. Maybe you need to get a little, print out a little note, write out a little note, tape it to the steering wheel of your car. You're going to work. Do not get fooled, people. Don't allow that to happen. And I'm even going to say, for you to be on the other side of it, don't try to fool anybody either. Just be genuine. There's nothing wrong with being genuine and truthful and honest on April Fool's Day. I just want you to think about that. But definitely, don't get fooled. Did you see the story about this American Airlines flight that was landing in Albuquerque? The co-pilot died a couple minutes before the plane landed. I don't know where it was coming from. I don't know that. But I'm going to guess. I mean, there are only a few things that can kill a human fairly quickly, within a minute. Of course, a heart attack, maybe a brain aneurysm. There's only a few things that can do that. And naturally, I guess you'd say. Of course, I'm not going to, like, you know, being shot in the head, of course, I guess you'd die pretty quickly. But just natural causes, diseases, something like that. There are only a few that can do that. So I'm going to guess that this was a heart attack or a brain aneurysm, but this co-pilot died. So it was just one pilot up in the cockpit to land this plane. I don't think that the passengers found out about this until the plane had already landed. You know, it's not like as the plane was getting closer and closer to landing that the pilot came over the speaker and said, "I just wanted everybody to know I'm up here by myself. The co-pilot just died of a heart attack." I don't think the pilot did that. Although that would be pretty funny, although I have to say I'm glad I wouldn't be on that flight. But very unfortunate. They gave out, in this story that I saw, they gave out the guy's name. I'm not going to say it here. I don't know how old the guy was either. It was a man. So you just never know. You just wonder, what would happen if both pilots had heart attacks? And so nobody could fly the plane. There is, I bet, you know, with technology today, I bet they could easily figure out how to get that plane on the ground. Virtually, a plane can take off, fly somewhere, and land almost by itself these days. So, and of course, as I talk about this, I think about the film, what must have been Airport 75, I think that was the one where a 747 crashed into another plane and there was a huge hole in the plane. And I think it was Charlton Heston had to go from one plane over to the 747 so he could fly it to land it. Remember that? I think that was Airport 75. Airport 77 was the one with Jimmy Stewart and the plane go. I think that was the one where the plane goes underwater. You ever seen that? I think I got that right. So planes up there, no pilots, all these people, but no pilot to fly it. I think that somebody would be able to figure that out. A flight attendant would know how to work the equipment and push some buttons. The only issue would be once the plane lands, pulling all the air brakes and thrust reversers and everything, that might be a problem. I'm going to have to read up on that. I'm going to have to read up on that and see what the procedure is if two pilots would be incapacitated during a flight. So let's get to the show. Today, I think this vote has already happened. It's just before 11 a.m. Eastern time in the United States. I think in North Carolina, or was it yesterday? Yesterday or today, they were having a vote. They're repealing the bathroom bill. Remember this whole thing? I haven't talked about this for a while. This transgendered bill, and that's where all this talk got started, I'm going to say about 8 months ago. That what happened was this. The city of Charlotte passed an ordinance saying that a person could go into the restroom of the gender with which they identified with, not the one that they were scientifically or genetically connected to, but the one they thought that they were connected to. So this is, of course, started all of the statements out there. Well, what happens if a guy believes he's really a woman inside? Can he then go into a woman's bathroom? And this started a huge conversation. And actually, some people will say to this day that one of the reasons that Donald Trump won, or at least got so many votes, is because of this bill, something that went way too far. And this was in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. And this wasn't just for public restrooms. This wasn't just for restrooms in government buildings. This was for all businesses, buildings in the Charlotte area. Whatever area Charlotte covers, all these buildings had to comply. So as a business owner, you couldn't decide for yourself who gets to go in each restroom. The government was going to decide it. And as I was reading about this, and once again, I hadn't read an article recently about it, I forgot all about something. If you were a business owner who was caught not going along with it, there were hefty fines. This is no different than kind of like the whole Christian bakery thing that started a few years ago, where people wouldn't make cakes for gay weddings, and we know how all that has gone in the last few years. Well, in Charlotte, it was kind of the same thing, that due to this ordinance, this law that the Charlotte City Council had passed, any business within the city limits had to have a bathroom policy in which anybody could go into any restroom at any time that they wanted. That's essentially what it is. That's not what liberals will say, but that's essentially what it is. And so what ended up happening, and what really put this on the national stage, is that the governor of North Carolina, now the former governor, McCrory, and the Republican legislature passed a bathroom freedom law saying that, no, it, to overrule what Charlotte did. And this caused a backlash, if you are to believe it, against the state of North Carolina, from Hollywood to and the NCAA, which I have written in my notes here, may be the most corrupt organization in the United States. It very well may be the most corrupt establishment. I'm not going to put the mafia or anything in there, but out of the established organizations in the United States, it may be the most corrupt. It's a horrible, horrible organization, my opinion. As much as I enjoy sports, but you know my opinion that sports and education should be separate. I have a real, there's something that's gotten out of control in linking schools and athletics, I think, frankly, at the college level at least. But getting back to this, the NCAA has decided that it wasn't going to play any games there. The other, you know, the professional sports teams have spoken out against what the state of North Carolina did. And it's supposed to be discriminatory towards transgendered people and everything. Even though we know that since Charlotte passed this law, that there have been incidents of men going into women's restrooms and getting away with it. And once again, this is one of the reasons people think that just pushing people too far, and that Trump got the momentum to be able to win the presidency, and he did win North Carolina. So today, there is a new governor. McCrory got voted out. Even though Trump won North Carolina, McCrory did not. If you remember, that was very, very, very close, and they were thinking about doing a recount, but then decided not to. So they now have a Democrat governor who won on the issue of repealing, of going about repealing this state law that once again, you know, reestablishes that people can determine for themselves who can go into which restroom in their own buildings and businesses and homes. Well, they are going to vote on a repeal today, but the funny thing is that it's the transgendered people and the what is it now? It used to just be LBGT, LGBT, now it's LGBTQ, RSTUVWXYZ, whatever it is. They're actually mad about this because what this compromise, it really is a compromise. What it really is doing is they're going to repeal the law that was passed, the state law, that was in opposition to the Charlotte City law. This is very confusing. They're going to repeal that. But also what's going to happen is you're essentially going to go back to the status quo before all of this happened. Meaning people aren't going to be getting in trouble if they start a what it's essentially going to do is, once again, go back to the status quo. And liberals in North Carolina are not happy. I think what they wanted was, I think this is what their expectation was, is that the Democrat governor was going to go get in there, and this bill, the state law that had been passed by both the state, you know, by the former state governor McCrory, was going to be repealed, but everything else was going to stay the same. Well, that's not what's going to happen. And see, this is one of those issues where I think you be very, very careful what you wish for. You might just get it. Now, I don't know how pleased conservatives are either. But it's better than what the liberals wanted. The real reason, if you look into this, that liberals are ticked about this is that bathroom laws, that you even have to talk about bathroom laws is a problem. But what this bill is going to do that they're going to vote on today, it's going to repeal this HB2, whatever it was called from last year, that the state passed. But what it does is it takes away local jurisdiction from any of this stuff. So it's going to be up to the state now to regulate who can go into which bathrooms, and cities are now cannot independently do this, which they could, I guess, do before. And so, essentially, once again, we're going back to the status quo, what it was before. In addition, though, the city Charlotte cannot, and any other, Raleigh or whatever, cannot pass any bathroom laws. State law will supersede anything that any of these cities try to do. Now, you can see why liberals might be upset about that, but also that you even have to talk about this stuff is disturbing to think about a bathroom law. But the reason they did it, and this is why I mentioned that the NCAA is such a corrupt organization, is the NCAA has some sports things going on that are supposed to happen in North Carolina. So there is some stress, there is some pressure to get this all handled because everybody wants these sports events to come to North Carolina. And the NCAA shouldn't be involved in any of this anyway. It's a nonprofit organization. It's not supposed to be political, but it is. And it's corrupt. I will continue to say that. I think that after, I think I've said after Russian hockey and Italian soccer, I think that the NCAA is one of the most corrupt organizations in sports in the world. And it very well may be the most corrupt organization in the United States. And this is just the most recent example. Having said all that, I'm not of the opinion that this really moved the needle. I think moves the needle politically in the short term. I think I happen to believe that this whole issue has been a loser for liberals. I think it has. I'm not sure if it really, really, really affected the election as much as everybody thinks. Obviously, it hurt McCrory's attempt to get reelected in that state. I think that's pretty obvious. But overall, I don't know. I think it's just something that most people don't want to talk about. They wonder why the government's even involved in this. What was exactly the issue? Has there really been a transgendered bathroom issue in the United States? Or is this something that's just manufactured? It's all hard to tell. And I personally would love this topic to go away, because I don't like thinking about bathroom laws. I don't like thinking about government in this way. And I think that if Charlotte, looking back at it now, if Charlotte wanted to do that, they should have just limited it to government buildings. And any events or anything held by any government entities. They think they went way too far when they started making private businesses, private people go along with it. But this is, I think that this is what liberals do. They usually bite off too much more than they can chew, and they get into an issue like this. So maybe that's a benefit for conservatives, Republicans. Maybe, because even, I mean, what essentially it did, and it's hard to, it's hard to understand all of this. I just hate even talking about this. I have to, because it's in the news. It's a major piece of legislation. It's been talked about the last 6 months. This particular topic is the reason that we don't have a Republican governor in North Carolina anymore. He's one of the few Republicans who lost in November. And so that's noteworthy. And a lot of money went into that state to allow now Governor Cooper, Democrat, to win, just even though by the slimmest of margins. Didn't seem to help Hillary Clinton in that state at all. And that's why I wonder if this topic really resonates outside of North Carolina. It doesn't seem that it does. It got Democrats motivated. You know, the HB2 bill that was passed by the state got Democrats motivated in North Carolina, but it didn't seem to do that elsewhere, even though I know, once again, Hillary Clinton won by 3 million of the popular vote. But she lost in North Carolina, whereas the Democrat governor won. And so I don't know if this is as big a topic as everybody has made it out to be. I think it's a topic in North Carolina. I don't know if this, I don't think it that it played in Pennsylvania or Florida or Wisconsin, any of these states that Donald Trump won that he maybe wasn't supposed to win, or that Democrats have won in the past. So that's something that we'll continue to think about. But I think in the end, I think that this was one of those issues where liberals benefited from it when the Charlotte did that. And then they started to not benefit when the state overrode it with the HB2 bill, the law. And now I think they've even lost more than that. They've even, you know, went back to the status quo, maybe even worse than that, because a deal wanted to be made because of entities outside of North Carolina who wanted to do business there, and everybody was worried about that. And now with a Republican legislature, good luck getting anything changed. Obviously, with a Democrat governor, the state isn't going to be doing anything too soon, independently for any sort of bathroom laws. I don't think the Democrat governor is going to sign anything the Republican sends him regarding that. So I guess Democrats in that state are just going to have to wait and work to get a Democrat legislature again so then they can turn the tide back in their favor. Because for now, once again, it seems like it's gone back to the status quo. And really, it's taken this particular issue out of cities' hands. You wish you didn't, as a conservative, I wish you didn't have to do this. I wish you could just trust cities and local governments to do the right thing and to stay out of people's business. You can't do that anymore. So then the state run by Republicans needs to do that. Or a state governor, a Republican governor, needs to get involved. You know, it's just a shame that it comes to that. Let's move on to something else. Andrew Napolitano. He had been suspended by Fox News, and I think I might have mentioned, I don't remember. This Napolitano thing was happening right around the time that Tomi Lahren was talking about being pro-choice and going on The View and her getting suspended by the Blaze. It all kind of happened around the same time. Two prominent talking heads out there who get suspended by the respective companies within days of each other. That's kind of odd. But unlike Tomi Lahren, who I understand is going to be suspended permanently from the Blaze, Andrew Napolitano is back on Fox News. I think he got suspended for a week. Now, the funny part is that he's back on there, and he has not apologized. He hasn't changed his tune, hasn't backtracked, has done nothing. He still claims that British intelligence was asked, or couldn't be ordered, but asked by the Obama administration to spy on Donald Trump. Because I'm guessing, because if you're to believe this, that the American intelligence network wouldn't do that. There would be leaks and Donald Trump would find out and everything else. So Barack Obama and his administration decided to run around that by talking to our friends, the Brits, and saying, hey, we have some concerns about Donald Trump. Can you look into him? Well, Napolitano, and he got suspended for saying that because there was essentially no proof that that happened. Well, he's still on, he came back and started right back into it again. And as I read on Hot Air, and whoever, was it Ed Morrissey, whoever wrote this piece, said, you know, the reason you suspend somebody is to teach them a lesson. Whether it's from school, or we know that players get suspended in the NFL or other sports. They're suspended because they did something wrong, and when they come back, it's expected that their behavior is going to change. With Judge Napolitano, that's not going to be the case. And I do think I have a – we're going to get into the specifics of, you know, a little more into the spying side of this in a bit. But I have a hunch as to why his tune hasn't changed. And this was a story that came out while he was suspended. It might have been out there before, but I happened upon it while he was suspended. Judge Napolitano seems to believe that he is on Donald Trump's short list for the next Supreme Court appointment. That's true. Now, you should know something. Judge Napolitano's name is not on that list that everybody talks about. The Trump came out with last year during the primary season. There was, what, 10, 12, 15 names on it. And Neil Gorsuch, of course, was the name on it. And he's still getting confirmed. He's not being confirmed yet. There's a little delay in the procedure. Haven't had a chance to talk about that. But it is believed, Judge Napolitano has told people, in talking to Trump, that Trump has said that he is on, that Napolitano is on Trump's short list once again for one of the, if there is another vacancy that happens, say it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Justice Kennedy, whoever, that Napolitano may have a chance, he believes, at getting that appointment. Does this sound like some sort of... Does this seem right to you? Is that not a way... Now, hey, you can't hold anything against Donald Trump. I know that he wants favorable coverage. He knows that Napolitano is on Fox News all the time. I think maybe that Trump is thinking in his mind, well, Napolitano, he's known as a he's a well-known libertarian, and maybe, you know, that can get some of those people on my side. So I have nothing against. I want you to know for the record, I have nothing against Donald Trump saying something to Napolitano like that and trying to get Napolitano on his side. I understand that's what people do. And I also can understand that Judge Napolitano might be excited about that. Might be. Any person who has dedicated their life to the law would be. The problem that I have is Fox News would continue to employ Judge Napolitano knowing this and expecting him to be objective. I mean, you can't even say that about Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, you know, is at least, as far as we can tell, doing everything that he has done for Donald Trump by choice. I don't know. I have never heard a story that Donald Trump has promised something to Sean Hannity if Sean Hannity kisses his butt for the next 4 or 8 years. But now it seems that we do have proof, right from Judge Napolitano himself, Napolitano. That's a long word, Napolitano. Five-syllable last name. That's crazy. Crazy. You should limit last names to like two syllables, like Denzel. In any case. But there's something wrong when a media organization employs a person who has been promised things by President of the United States and then expects that person to be that person on the channel to be objective. And then on top of it, it's obvious that Judge Napolitano did not learn his lesson in being suspended for a week. And so getting back to the spy story, could it be that Napolitano came forward with this story? Now, you should know something. Maybe I need to preface it with this. One of his sources for the story has even backtracked since Judge Napolitano came out with the news however many weeks it was ago. This source, his name is Larry Johnson, and Larry Johnson, you should know, has a colorful history going back to 2008 where he claimed he had seen footage or he had proof. This is going back 2008, so 9 years ago. Then this would have been before Barack Obama was president. He had proof that during one of these, remember Reverend Wright? Remember that? During one of these get-togethers Reverend Wright had with the Obamas and whipping up crowds and everything, that Michelle Obama was using the word whitey, W-H-I-T-E-Y, which you could say is not a very nice word. I don't personally mind being called whitey because I'm very white, if you've ever seen me. But Larry Johnson claimed that there was proof out there that she had done this. Now, you should know 9 years later, there's no proof that she had ever done that. I'm not saying she's ever said it, never said it. But there's no recording, no video, no nothing like that that she ever did. And this was, once again, before Barack Obama became president. So that's who Larry Johnson is. He's a guy that says things that then can't be proven. But even he is coming out now, all these years later, 9 years later, and saying that Judge Napolitano, I think, took my words out of context regarding, you know, making this connection between Barack Obama and British intelligence. What Larry Johnson now says, if you want to believe him, is that, yes, he does believe that British intelligence was doing some, you know, researching into Donald Trump. But it was not done because Barack Obama wanted them to do it, was not forcing them to do it, wasn't asking them as some political favor or anything, but it was more along the lines of they suspected that Donald Trump would become president, and they wanted to make sure they knew everything about him. They were not wiretapping his phones or anything like that. And I guess what essentially Larry Johnson is saying is this would be something that British intelligence would do no matter who was going to be president. But Judge Napolitano ran with that, connected it to Barack Obama, came out with a Fox on Fox News, couldn't back it up with any real proof, got suspended, but now he's back on there saying the same thing. I got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. And so, you know, continuing with the Judge Napolitano talk, would conservatives be taking Judge, a spokesman on CNN, a contributor on CNN, if that person had been promised something by Barack Obama, but then was on there talking favorably of Barack Obama? Would conservative people not be, would that person just, would feel the wrath of conservative talk radio, wouldn't he or she? And your average conservative out there would be talking about CNN, fake news. Oh, look, that guy's supposed to be objective, but he was promised a Supreme Court nomination. How could we ever take that guy seriously? But then Fox News does it, and everybody just keeps watching. These are the kind of things that tell me that it's not good. It is absolutely not good what is going on in the United States right now. I know that's not what you want to hear. I know that sucks. I know that you don't like me saying this. But all of us, not just liberals, but all of us have to raise our character. We have to raise our expectations. We have to be more objective than we are, because our subjectivity is killing us. It's killing this country. It absolutely is. I know this is just one guy on one TV station, and probably as soon as he retires or whatever, he'll be absolutely forgotten. He'll be like he was never there. But as long as this stuff continues and people accept it, I don't know how people expect anything to get any better. I really don't. Let's move on to something else. You know, a couple days ago, I talked about 60 Minutes and the story they did about that. Remember that FBI agent that was on the tail of the terrorists who ended up shooting up Garland, Texas? A story that has to be one of the most disturbing stories I've done on this show recently. And I would put that above any Obamacare story or any immigration story. I would say the only thing that it doesn't rise to the level of is an actual terrorist attack, like in Orlando, like San Bernardino, or like Garland, Texas. But just talking about an FBI agent who was following terrorists and didn't do anything about it is disturbing. And I mentioned, you know, that story was on 60 Minutes. The reason I mentioned 60 Minutes now is that back in the day, 70s and 80s, one of 60 Minutes bread and butter segments was they would go undercover. They would have a secret camera, and you know, you think about that back to that day, you wonder how they did it. I mean, they didn't have GoPro cameras and little, I mean, the way they pulled it off was very, they did a great job with it. I mean, that was one of their bread and butter segments once in a while in 60 Minutes, getting people talking undercover and exposing them. And they got away with it. And I remind you again, as I did when I talked about 60 Minutes a couple days ago, back then, 60 Minutes was the number one show on TV, period. Period. It's hard to imagine now. I bring this up because California is charging two pro-life activists. Their names are Robert Daleiden, D-A-L-E-I-D-E-N, and Sandra Merritt. I'm glad her name is easier to pronounce. At least I know how to say Sandra and Merritt. But Daleiden, D-A-L-E-I-D-E-N, you could say that like three different ways. California is charging them with 15 different counts involving invasion of privacy. This goes back to something, I forget when this happened, but it's a story that's been going on for a while. And probably the better known case of this is what happened in Texas, where they filmed Planned Parenthood people undercover, talking about the selling of fetal tissue, the selling of baby parts, something that Planned Parenthood is not allowed to do. But they do it because they make money from it, just like they make money from abortions. And never let Planned Parenthood tell you that it's all about, you know, women's health care. It's all about making money. That is a big money maker for them, abortions. But here we are all these years later, and 60 Minutes, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, could do undercover segments. And they were applauded by everyone on the left and the right for what they were doing. All these years later, if a couple people do that to try to show that Planned Parenthood has some illegal activity going on, they get in trouble and they get charged by the state of California. Now, maybe we shouldn't. I guess I'm not surprised that California would do this. I am surprised that Texas tried to do it, and you should know these people got off on those. The charges were dropped. I don't think these people are going to be as lucky in California. I don't know when it started being unacceptable that people could be filmed undercover, especially if they were doing something wrong. I don't know. I have to tell you that I even have an issue with, you know, recording phone calls and things like that. I don't know why you have to let other people know that you're recording them. I have no idea. Shouldn't everybody just be on their best behavior? Is that not always the standard? But when a media company like 60 Minutes can be number one in the country with their TV show, filming people undercover, never being charged with anything to my knowledge. In fact, I'm sure the states where they conducted these investigations probably liked it, what 60 Minutes did, exposing something. All these years later, Texas, and to much more of an extent, California, think that that should be illegal. This is one more reason why I think I don't know where we're going here. I don't know what the exit strategy is of all of this. And as I talk about this, I start thinking about the opposite. You know, it's funny to me that conservatives and pro-life people in particular are not the only people who have cameras, who have access to technology that can record people without that other person knowing it. It's amazing to me that how much conservatives, pro-life people, maybe you throw James O'Keefe in here as well, can catch people, liberals, saying things and doing things they shouldn't be doing. And liberals can't seem to do that. Is that because there aren't any liberals out there trying to do that? Or is that because nobody is going to find anything outrageous that pro-life people say, that conservative people say, that people for small government, what they say, what people who are for, you know, a better tax system say? Could it be that? I wonder. That's a thought that comes into my mind when I read this story. You hear, and over the last few years, I mean, we as conservatives, we've had plenty of stories about conservatives going undercover and exposing what liberals are doing. You don't have near as many liberal stories, at least the way I perceive it. Now, I know once in a while something is being recorded for example, with Mitt Romney going back to 2012, his soul, you know, there's 47% of the country. I don't know if that's illegal. First of all, as much as I'm not a huge fan of Mitt Romney, he was exactly right. But what he said wasn't illegal. I didn't think it to be off base or anything. Surely, it was something that I think everybody down deep knows to be true anyway. But it certainly got played up in the media at the time. But certainly it's not along the lines of Planned Parenthood talking about selling fetal tissue. Surely not. So there may be that example, but I'm still not even sure that that was the same kind of case that what we have here. Where conservatives are actually talking about doing something illegal, which is exactly what was going on in this case, where Mr. Daladin and Ms. Merritt did catch these people talking about doing something illegal, probably because they are doing it. That's usually why people talk about doing illegal things, is because they're already doing it. It's not something they're going to do in the future. It's something they're already doing. But no, California is not going to look into Planned Parenthood and see if they're actually breaking the law. Instead, they're going to go after the people who recorded these employees from Planned Parenthood talking about all of this. I just don't know if, and see, this is one of the reasons I do this show, in that I believe that you have to fight against these people. I think that we have a moral responsibility to fight these people. I don't mean, I mean figuratively fight them. I don't mean literally fight them. Because I think that they are underhanded. And I think that they will do anything to advance their agenda forward, undermining anything to do it. And if it means they need to sell baby body parts, even though they're not supposed to be doing that, that's what they're going to do. If it means getting Obamacare through the House and the Senate by telling people, well, you have to pass it first before you can see what's in it, that's what they're going to do. And, you know, the stories could go on and on and on. And I still say that liberals don't care about laws except the ones that will control people. And even then, if liberals figure out that those laws are hurting themselves, they'll just forget about them. They'll just ignore them. Whereas I think we as conservatives, when we talk about getting laws passed and changing things, it's not like we're getting laws passed and then when we come up against that law, we want to try to get around it. We are passing laws. We want to do things that actually reduce regulation. We're going to follow whatever the laws are. We just want the regulations to be less. We're going to pay our taxes, but we think that the tax code is messed up. We're not going to bring up bills that get passed that make the tax code better and then suddenly decide, oh, we're going to try to get around those taxes, that tax code that we just supported. We won't do that. Liberals will. Liberals will pass high taxes and then figure out any possible way to get out of paying them. And likewise here, I mean, at some point, somebody came up with the idea that selling fetal tissue probably isn't a good idea. And there might have even been some Democrats, at least at the time, who thought, yeah, that sounds a little wrong. But now, these years later, what do we have? We have Democrats trying to get around that law. And freely talking about it with, you know, the bizarreness of it is that these people will just talk to it. I don't know. I'm going to guess that these Planned Parenthood people didn't know these two undercover pro-life people very long. I don't think that this was a sting that was a year in the making where Mr. Daladin and Ms. Merritt, you know, gained the confidence of these employees and and went out to dinner with them and everything. And then suddenly a year later, these employees start talking about selling fetuses. It sounds like these Planned Parenthood employees were talking about it from the first conversation. And it didn't seem like these two pro-lifers had much problem getting these people to talk about it. So it must be just an accepted practice. And that these Planned Parenthood employees have no problem talking about it, I guess, to strangers. It makes you wonder why they haven't been caught before. Maybe the state of California should start doing something about this, instead of charging the people who actually caught them in the first place. What do I think is going to happen here? I don't know. Well, I think I do know. I think that I can't believe that either of these two pro-life people are going to be happy about going to jail. I think that they will fight this to the end. And luckily, I don't think they're going to... I don't know if they're going to get any relief from the state of California. And they're surely not going to get any relief from the Ninth Circuit, which covers California. But I think eventually this will be something that works its way through the courts to the point where these people, these charges will be dropped as well, except it's not going to be at the state level. It's just, that's just not going to happen. I think that California is going to go after these people. We know what California is like. And they want to make these couple pro-life people pay. If only for the reason that liberals are afraid that they might get caught on tape saying things that are illegal too. And that does occur to me. But this is a huge travesty of justice. It's abuse of the legal system. I don't understand. I understand as well as anybody as a conservative that privacy is important. But I personally as a conservative think we've gone way, way, way too far with that. And I'm not convinced that our founding fathers, the guys who came up with the idea for this country, who thought way more about this country than anybody I think does today, and that you include any American citizen. I think the founding fathers thought way more about this country back then than any citizen in the United States does now, and the way things should work and why they work and why they put it together this way. I'm not convinced that the founding fathers believed in privacy this private. I think that they understood that people have their rights. They have the rights to religion, rights to guns, right to free speech, and everything else. But I think they also understood that rebellion starts, you know, with a few group of people. And so to say that if the government or people think that something is starting up, that you couldn't spy them. Now, back in the late 1700s, I guess that would amount to drilling a hole in somebody's log cabin and standing outside and listening to what they're saying and writing everything down. You had no way to record what they were saying or, of course, videotape it or even take a photo or anything. But I happen to believe that the founding fathers wouldn't have had anything against that. If they thought that something illegal was going on, they would expect a citizen to speak up, even to the point of maybe doing an investigation on his or her own. That's what I think. I don't think that the founding fathers would say, well, if you think something illegal is going on, you know what? You can't do anything about that. If you think they're going into that log cabin and they're planning to overthrow this new American government to put the British back in charge, no, you're going to have to stay away from that. We don't want to know anything about that. No. We don't want to know anything about that. No, don't go drill a hole. No, don't listen from up on the roof and listening down the chimney. No, don't do that. I mean, that would just be wrong. I'm telling you, that's not how the founding fathers thought. And so being that I think they thought that way, I see no problem with what was going on here. In that these two pro-lifers were trying to prove, and they did, that Planned Parenthood is selling fetal material, something they're not supposed to be doing. They further say that if they hadn't gotten anything, if they'd had a bunch of meetings with these employees, and the employees just played it straight, no, we're not doing anything illegal. Oh, no, we're not selling fetal tissue. No, we don't know. We're not allowed to do that. Can't do that. Now, of course, they admit to doing abortions, but that's legal. They can do that. If they had just admit to legal stuff, then these tapes never see the light of day. The pro-lifers go home and say, dang, didn't accomplish what we thought we were going to. Maybe there is nothing going on at that clinic. But being that they did find something, what were they supposed to do? Just eat it? Just go home and say, hey, I guess we're right. Let's move on with our lives. So there is no way that this is supposed to be like this. And I, of course, go back to the point. 60 Minutes used to do this all the time, and everybody loved it. Just remember that. Just within my lifetime. One more thing before I go. I see Ivanka Trump. She is going to be a non-paid government employee with an office in the White House as an advisor to her father. And you know, it seems day by day I also start reading Jared Kushner's name, who is Ivanka's husband. His name popping up more and more and more in articles as well. Now, I want to ask all of you Trump cultists out there, all of you people who lined up to vote for Donald Trump because he was the best thing ever, is this what you thought was going to happen? You should know, Ivanka Trump, if you haven't been paying attention, Ivanka Trump is no conservative. She is no small government person. Either is her husband. And I have a question for you. Once again, and then for all of those people who were so excited about Trump's cabinet picks. Remember? I mean, people were just throwing parts. Oh, look how smart he is. If it comes down to a question, an issue, and say that Donald Trump is talking to his Secretary of the Interior, and this has to do with some environmental issue. The Secretary of the Interior, he's the guy who rode in on the horse, right? Everybody loves him. He has a point of view on a particular idea regarding the environment, some federal land. And then Ivanka comes to Donald Trump, her dad, and says, No, we're environmentalists. No, that forest has to be protected. We can't sell that off to this paper company that's going to cut down these trees and make paper. We can't do that. Who do you think Donald Trump is going to listen to? His Secretary of the Interior or his daughter? What do you think, people? This is why I tried to tell you. I think you're getting way, way, way too overexcited about these cabinet picks. The people who influence Donald Trump the most, besides his own ego, which has its own person, you know, is its own self, are his daughter and his son-in-law, and probably his son, Eric Trump, as well. And none of them are conservative. And all of them have more sway with their dad or their father-in-law than any of his cabinet picks are ever going to. Ever. Ever. I don't know. And the brilliant point was made, I don't think it was at the Washington Examiner, it was some point place else, is that, you know, the big problem was that, just imagine how crazy conservatives would be if Hillary had made Chelsea an unpaid government employee in the White House. Just imagine that. It would be crazy. The big difference, though, is that Chelsea and her mother think alike. Hillary campaigned as a liberal. Hillary is a liberal. All of Hillary's appointments would be liberals. And they'd all be in chorus. That won't be the case with Ivanka Trump around. She is decidedly different from the way that her dad campaigned, and that's going to be a bigger problem, way more than if Chelsea Clinton was advising her mother. But I gotta go. You can find this show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Prime Channel on RedStateTalkRadio.com. You can also find it at Podomatic, iTunes. Please listen, share, and subscribe. We've got a new episode of my other show, Unfound, coming out tomorrow. It's a missing persons program. Looking forward to that. Part two of a story I started last week. Check that out at Podomatic and iTunes. I gotta go. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.